Let's call to order this special meeting of the Improvements Committee for January 9th, 2024, even though our agenda says 23.
Does it? Thank you for pointing that out, sir.
Starting with the Improvements Staff Report. Michael?
Yeah, there's been some interest in like Sacramento perch stocking in our reservoirs and in electrofishing testing. And we've invited the group to come up and speak about that. If you wanted to come up, Jim, tell us exactly what you plan to do and how that benefits the district. And
If you could speak into the mic, thank you, sir.
I'll have to turn over to Ben Ewing and then Max Fish, and then because they're the experts on it from California Department of Fish and Wildlife. And so, which one of you great men want to come up and volunteer? I think you're interested in getting a bit of education on electroshocking, is that right?
Yeah, well, there was something that, I mean, what would be your plan, Jim, if electroshocking was, I mean, what's your...
Well, my wish is to be able to go ahead and do the electroshocking in Lake Clementia.
In Lake Clementia,
yeah,
okay.
Primarily because, it's a swimmer's lake, and so exposed to a lot of things, but more importantly, has a good launch ramp.
And so you're planning on doing electroshocking to balance the
fish
habitat?
Okay, primarily just to go in and see what kind of fish we have living in Lake Clementia.
Okay.
Or one of the lakes that we choose.
So this is like a survey method?
It's a survey method.
Got it. Okay.
So it's a population survey. And so I can turn it over to Ben here, who is the expert.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes. It's what we call a general fish survey. So what
Ben, could you introduce yourself?
Yeah. My name is Ben Ewing, California Fish and Wildlife, fisheries biologist. We were hoping to do something that we could help both entities. I came out and did a talk for your guys' Fish and Game Club, and one of the questions was like how are your guys' fisheries are doing in the ponds and stuff. And one of the ways we manage fisheries or find some information on fisheries in lakes and reservoirs is using an electrofishing boat, which temporarily stuns the fish. They're out from 5 seconds to maybe a minute. The larger fish get shocked a little bit harder. So we thought this might be a way to bring both of us. We have some electrofishing boats that are on the big and small size, and we have a smaller one that I brought here if you guys wanted to go take a look and see how it works and set up. But we were looking at, one of the questions that was brought up is you guys had some questions on how your fisheries are doing. If the fish are in good condition or if they're stunted, what kind of a species composition is in the lakes. And so with the electrofishing boat, you can go out there and safely take a look at the fish, measure, weigh them, get a relative counts. You can mark the fish if you want to do a population estimate and then come back and do a recapture effort so you can get an idea of like relatively how big the population is doing. So it's just a method that's used that we use across the state on public fisheries. And when done correctly, has like a 99% survival rate for the fish. And also too, we were also looking at, we also do kids derbies, and a lot of times we'll have to go to public lakes to get a lot of these fish and take them to we have a little transport tank, and kids can come up at ISC shows or these trailers and see all these fish. And one of the things that we're thinking is maybe able to bring some fish out of Rancho Murrieta at whatever ponds, bring them in, and they can take a look. The kids can look at the fish. We can tell them, hey, this is what's found in the local area, and then we bring them back at the end of the day. So we just thought this might be a good way for, we're based out of Rancho Cordova with the e-boats, and it might be a good way for us to help you guys get some information on whatever ponds or lakes on your property, and also be able to help us out here and there to help the community with some, to get an idea of like learning different types of fish species and helping like a lot of these like children outreach programs.
When would you do it?
Whenever you guys would like, really. I mean, we have to schedule stuff. I'm not the fisheries biologist for Sac County, mm-hmm. But I am the one that is in charge of the electrofishing boat, so I'd probably be involved because the Sacramento County fisheries biologist isn't familiar with these boats.
So they float to the top?
Yeah, they float out, they roll up, and you have two netters. If you guys want to, I brought the boat just if you guys had questions on it, but it has a little rack up front. You have two netters. It temporarily stuns them, and the netters net them. We have a live well in the middle of the boat, so there's water. They put them in there, and then depending on what you want to do, you can measure, weigh them, and then they get thrown out.
And how many fish are you trying to catch?
It'll be up to you guys. It depends on like what the objective of the study. If it's something that, you know, you guys were just trying to get some information on fishery, we wouldn't even keep in any fish. We just process them, record the data, mark them, and throw them out. If it was something that we were using for Fish and Wildlife or like a program, we'd probably get maybe 20 to 30 fish, possibly. Not very many, because the kids don't really need a lot. You know, they just maybe try to get a little diversity, a few bluegill, maybe some bass and stuff, something to look at. And they transport really well, too. That's one thing about these warm water fish is they transport really well. So, you know, they do come back at the end of the day, and it's not like we take them or they die.
You have to close the lake?
Close the what?
You have to close the lake to do it?
Close the lake? Or
lake.
No. It's like the area that we shock is probably only 5 feet in front of the boat. Mm-hmm. 5 to 7 feet, and it only goes shocks down to about 3 feet. It's very safe. I mean, I can always see. I mean, I definitely, like, even if the anodes are dropped, what are called the anodes that put the electricity in the water, I guess if it's Michael right there, he probably wouldn't even be shocked if it was dropped right here. Very, very small, centralized field.
Any questions?
You asked my question. I said, do they float?
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't going to create, you know, a bunch of dead fish that we have to pull out. I mean, this is a small diameter of effect, and they come up, and 99% survival rate. So did I hear that correctly? Do you intend on taking some of the fish to a fishing derby?
That might be one of the things that we would probably work with you guys if we were... Because sometimes we have to be something like this to pull off. You have to, because it's a private lake, obviously. Like, we, as the state agency, we can't really do a lot of these work for private entities and stuff. But if there was a way that the state could get something that is contributing back to the public who pay for my salary and stuff, fishing license and stuff, that's one thing. Because we generally can't go out to HOAs and stuff and do work for them. But if there's a way that, yes, we can get you some information while we're out there, help you guys out on figuring out what's going on with your fishery, give you all that data, and I can even give reports on how to, like, work up that data and actually put them into graphs and stuff and get a really good idea of how your fisheries are doing. And then every now and then, if we have a kids fishing day or something, you know, we take 20, 25 fish for a day and then bring them back. Hmm. Yeah. That's the only way I can probably swing this, is because we generally, obviously, we do this all over the state, but they're for public waters. We don't work for, you know, public neighborhoods and stuff and HOAs like this.
So if you want to interact with the kids, the fishing day would be a perfect day then, huh?
Yeah, it's a good, and we usually, and that one thing, we always put it like a sign of where these fish come from.
Yeah, yeah.
And stuff. So it's a cool thing, like what water did these come from? So the kids are, we usually put a little sign. What fish are in here? Can you guess which fish is which? You know, if there's a red ear sunfish, which one is in the, mm-hmm. you know, and then what water they came from. And it's a good thing, especially nowadays, is trying to get a lot of these kids, you know, mm-hmm. familiarize what's out there and available in their community.
I personally, I think it's a win-win. I have no objection to it.
Go ahead, Travis.
As I
as we talked about out there, because your boat does have a gas motor on there. Everything has to be electric. And you stated that you can't take that motor off there, but you'll be covering everything up.
Yeah, we've had, it's to make sure. That boat out there is from our Fresno office, and we've got to be respectful of their boat. They're letting us borrow.
Yes.
So we would definitely play by your guys' rules. We could lift the outboard out of the water, put it double bagged on it, and then Jim said that he has an electric motor that we could use to operate the boat.
So what would these reports look like? You said you started talking about graphs and charts, and are we talking about types of fish, numbers of fish, those kinds of things?
Yeah. So I can send. I think I sent Jim, but if you guys, I can give you my card, or and you guys can send me your email. I can send you a copy of the reports. But it's just a write up. They're nothing, anything. They're about 10 to 12 pages, depending on, you know, how big the survey was, but. It just gives you an idea of species composition, so you can you're collecting data on every fish that we actually sample out of the water, and you can get species composition out of lakes, so you get a percentage of what species are in each lake. You can get average weights of the fish, average lengths, length ranges, age classes, and relative weights, which will tell you like sort of which is a big one. A lot of people really care about that one because that gives you actually an idea of like how the fish are doing condition wise. We use like a formula, it's like a length weight ratio, and you can get an idea if the fish are real skinny and, you know, emaciated, or if they're real fat and, you know, chunky. So a lot of people like that one because it sort of tells you if there's like a stunted fishery, in which I've heard some of your guys have said that, like, because I guess it's a catch and release fishery, a lot of times when you have catch and release only, the fish get real stunted because the population is so big. They're all fighting for food resources. There's little competition. So that can happen when you have a stunted fishery. You get a lot of skinny fish. And the relative weight data will tell you that. You know, we have different tables and stuff where they're supposed to fit in that range. And it'll tell you, hey, these are on the skinnier side, the fatty side, or just sort of the average size. So there's a lot of good data. I can send the... I'm just telling you a fraction, but I can give you a template, and you can, and the spreadsheets, how we plug in the numbers and stuff. It's not rocket science if I can do it. So it's like you just plug in the numbers, and then it really can help you out with the fisheries. I try to help a lot of these people with private ponds, private lakes. I'll send them my reports, no problem, just to say, hey, you can do this on your own. A lot of people will do a hook and line. They don't have an electric fishing boat, but a lot of people, you can still, if you get enough people, a lot of times you can do a hook and line sampling and mark the fish and do a lot of the measuring weight. And it's not as efficient because the electrofisher can get more fish, but a lot of times you can do it on your own.
How long would you be out there? And how many fish are you trying to...
It depends on how big the lake is. So if I saw like what lake we're doing, it'll give me an idea. And then also a lot of times it depends how many fish you're getting, because if you are having to stop, you know, every 2 feet because you're just getting fish, you could be out there for a while. But if you're going along and you know, it's especially this time, a lot of those warm water fish are probably a little bit deeper, you could probably be covering a lot of ground and not catch much fish and cover a lot of area and wrap it up pretty soon. So it just... there's some factors, but generally, you know, I guess generally I have to see what we're covering in the time of year, and I could get a better idea.
What's your concern about length of time? I'm just curious, so we give you a better answer to your question.
No concern, just curiosity.
It wouldn't, I mean, definitely wouldn't take...
I'm hearing these graphs and averages, and I'm wondering how many fish... we're looking at. We're not taking a small sample. We must be taking a very large sample.
I think, like, just offhand, I think the biggest lake, what was the biggest lake you guys with Claro? I think Claro would probably just looking off at, like, probably about 3 to 4 hours offhand.
Oh.
If, you know, it's not a huge half day, maybe.
So basically, this sounds like something that, you know, benefits the fishing club. Primarily. I mean, CSD, it is nice to know what kind of fish we have, but really we're a water purveyor as long as the fish aren't getting in the way of the water.
you know, it's of no consequence to us, but we also have to manage these lakes. So I think that this is, maybe Jim, you can explain how this will benefit the fishing club?
It's not the fishing club.
Okay.
It's all the residents of Rancho Murrieta that fish in the lakes.
Okay.
So, there's a small subset of fishermen.
Gotcha.
In the club. So I just want to, you know, make that
sure
known.
So this will benefit all the people that enjoy fishing in those reservoirs.
Right, exactly. And so it gets an idea as to the population of fish, the health of the fish in each of the lakes. But like I said, okay, if you look behind Amelia, you'll see the map of our lakes, and then the one I'm looking at is Clemencia over there. And so you saw Calero, which is above. And so Clemencia is the one that's down right there.
And this would be zero cost to the district, I'm assuming.
Zero, yeah, from the charter.
So
I may have to cook a brisket or something like that.
What's that?
I may have to cook a brisket for them. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
So for the purposes of this committee, sounds like all we're looking at is possibly giving them permission to go on the
correct
and do this. And I'm totally in favor of that. And
so am I. And if you could do it on Kids Fishing Day, that's all. It's a bonus if you could do it.
Okay, I'm going to be stealing Joe's thunder over here since he represents Kiwanis.
Yeah.
I invited him to be able to talk to Ben about exactly the same thing.
Yeah, you don't have to decide today.
So, no, the April 6th was the date that they're starting with.
Yeah.
So that's the time frame. I just thought I'd bring it up.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Do you feel this is something that we should bring to the board, or this is just an operational?
Yes, I think it's... There's no danger.
Yeah, there's no. Nothing. I think there's no money being decided on or danger.
I think this is just operational. Okay. I think you've got our blessing.
Okay. So, other question I have is, who do we need to work with to get their boat in, since it is a guest boat?
Oh,
RMA.
Yeah, just.
Rod. Okay, well, I'll work with Rod then.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
problem.
And then just work with me on any specifics.
I will. You'll be involved in the emails.
Perfect.
All right, real good, Michael. Thank you.
And I have a couple of, if I may. First of all, when you have Kids Fishing Day, Kiwanis, if you let me know, I'll get it in the on the website. For sure, I could do that, and I'll try and maybe put it in the pipeline so that everybody knows that it's happening. I need about a month notice to put a little something on and help you advertise it. And then what about possible Sacramento perch stocking? Did I miss? Did we not talk about it?
Max Fish is
the
specialist.
Okay.
He'll speak on
that. Thank you.
Asked to be CC.
Sure.
I didn't prepare any talk, but...
your name, sir?
I'm Max Fish, California Fish and Wildlife. I'm a biologist out of the Native Fishes Program in Sacramento. And,
okay.
Yeah, Sacramento perch is one of my areas of expertise, and Ben was kind enough to invite me along just speak specifically to that, because I understand there may be some interest and opportunities here. Maybe I'll just give you a quick background on Sacramento perch. I don't know how many people might be familiar with the fish, but Sacramento perch is a native member of the sunfish family, so they're related to bass and bluegill. They're the only native sunfish west of the Rockies. Used to be real abundant in the Delta, Clear Lake. They've been extirpated or extinct from their native waters for quite a while, but they still exist in locations where they were moved 50, 60, 70 years ago. The department actually had a hatchery for them from the 1940s to the 1970s. So most of the lakes that have them are on the east side of the Sierras and the high desert, but I've worked statewide to expand Sacramento perch populations as well as recreational fisheries for them. They're a pretty fun fish to catch. They're real hardy. They evolved on the floodplains of California, so they're well adapted to drought conditions, high salinities, high alkalinities, very low oxygen levels. So really tough fish as far as environmental conditions are concerned. Where they suffer is in terms of competition with non-native sunfish. So that's really what pushed them out of their native waters, is when we started introducing Midwestern sunfish, where Sacramento perch spent millions of years by themselves pretty much, and
So they never had to compete with those non-natives. So that's sort of a background on the fish. It's a pretty cool fish, and we're just looking for opportunities to expand their range and also potentially provide recreational fisheries where possible. So I'm really here just to answer questions and maybe help evaluate whether or not there's opportunities here. So happy to answer questions now or later.
I have a question.
Sure.
What was your last name again?
Fish.
That's what I thought. So where would they come from, and is there a cost involved?
So it would depend. Up until very recently, the only real source for Sacramento perch we had were translocations from wild populations. There is a vector control district in Contra Costa who's breeding fish, and every once in a while he'll have bags of larval fish that he can send out. As of just a few months ago, the first registered aquaculturist is now selling Sacramento perch. So it would really depend on the specific scenario. You know, if these were a private stocking type situation for recreational angling, they may come from a private aquaculturist, in which case there would be cost. If there was some other situation that might be of conservation value to the state, then there may not be any cost. So I really don't know what the situations look like at this point, just here to help evaluate.
I think it'd be great to introduce more fish to, if it doesn't compete with the ones that are targeted, but I think we went through this once before on some other fish, and we had no objection to that, but I don't think we want to pay for it. But,
sure.
But fishing clubs have advocated for that in the past, and we've said, sure, it's not right. So it seems good to me.
The only perch I know is where I come from. If you catch a perch, it means there's walleyes around. Is it the same perch? Different.
So you're probably thinking of like yellow perch, maybe, or which are related to walleye. They're a different family.
Different family.
Yeah. So Sacramento perch like aren't really a perch.
I think, aren't they?
They're actually a sunfish. So they're more related to bluegill, crappie, black bass, largemouth bass, whereas yellow perch and walleye are in a different family.
And to Marty's point, you wouldn't be here talking to us if there was a danger of these taking over the lakes or...
No, it's pretty much the opposite. You know, like I said, they've been eliminated from all their native waters because of non-native fish. You know, they are a game fish, and they're a native fish. So, you know, they're pretty prolific when they're by themselves. So they lay... The female fish can lay between 20 and 100,000 eggs per female. So they have a lot of eggs, but again, they just have trouble competing with, especially green sunfish, bluegill, crappie, things like that. So yeah, I don't think there's any risk of them taking over.
Yeah, I had a question. Do you know if that Sacramento perch has been put in any other local reservoirs and what those effects might have been to any water quality, if any?
So if it's a reservoir that already has fish in it, there really shouldn't be any difference in water quality.
Sure.
So I put them in a pond in Gray Lodge, which they ended up pretty much getting eliminated because of the non-native fish. We're in the process of looking at introducing them into a pond in Sacramento as a urban fishing opportunity. But we haven't stocked them yet. So most of the stocking in this area has been really small ponds. And we've been focused on looking at for areas without other sunfish because we know that they'll be self-sustaining. If there's high densities of other sunfish, you know, it's pretty unlikely that they're going to last very long. The adults will survive, but they just don't recruit. Whether it's predation on eggs or juveniles, we're not 100% sure, but you just stop seeing juveniles being produced when they're in the presence of a lot of non-native sunfish.
So this would follow the survey that we're doing? We survey to make sure there's not a lot of sunfish and then
I think
put in the perch? Is that what I'm hearing? What's the plan, Jim?
Actually, that's a new idea, Michael.
Okay. Well, it's his idea.
Because I think if we were to find a pond that we could put the Sacramento perch in, we could definitely use the electrofishing and monitor. That would be another way to be able to monitor if it is successful or not.
I think
at this point we need to figure out if there was an ideal spot, because like Max said, if they don't do well with any existing bluegill in there, and I think that's what they said a lot of those lakes might have, but if they do, we do happen to find a spot that we can put them, we would definitely monitor with electrofishing.
Right, so I think that electrofishing survey would help us identify whether or not there's even any potential in any of the ponds.
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
So before you put anything in the lakes other than what's in there, we need to make sure that we run it by our regulator.
Sure.
So any information that you have, I'd have to send it to our state regulator and make sure that because it will be, unless you're just putting it in Clementia, but if they're going to get into Calero or Chesbro, I just want to make sure our regulator doesn't have an issue with it.
Sure. Yeah, makes sense.
All right. Good.
Okay, so, Michael, this is just informational. We'll take a look at the electroshocking data and decide if this is even
go from there
doable.
Yeah. So sounds like electrofishing is on, and then TBD on the perch.
TBD. Makes sense. Thank you very much.
Thank
very,
you.
Very
Thanks.
Good.
Thank you.
Very good information. Appreciate it. CIP matrix.
Yeah, so I've created a matrix to track our capital improvements for this fiscal year, and I put in my best estimate of percent complete, where we are with this year's budget, and the and the budget that was originally intended, and any status notes. I wasn't going to go over these one by one, but I wanted to ask the committee if you had a chance to look at it or if you had any questions.
I did. The next part's going to be the most important, which is how much we got to complete these.
Yeah, sure.
But it was interesting to me to see where we're at. But I'm glad you did.
Yeah, and I'll be presenting this to probably every improvements. And so if there's a different format or something else you'd like to see, let me know. I'm also doing some forensics on, past capital improvement programs. What have we not done? What have we done? Why? Why was that canceled? Mm-hmm. Because we're going to have to provide this data to our CIP consultant.
Oh, okay.
So it'll have some deep, deep relevance. Obviously, you see the totals spent, a fraction of what was budgeted, and that's because we're waiting on several construction projects where the money will really be spent.
Right. Yeah, I thought it was helpful.
Good, good.
I like the format. The top section is labeled water, and then the bottom section is labeled water. Was that just a
copy-paste, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, good. Sorry about that.
Contract for the water treatment plan assessment.
Okay, so we had a potential consultant come by, someone that I've worked with for several years, came to take a look at some of our SCADA items at our water treatment plant, and we found out that apparently the SCADA system for the water treatment plant. This is what, when I say SCADA system, you know what that means. It's, the computers and the PLCs and all the little switches and everything makes everything run automated and also provides us alarming. This system has not been really checked or updated since 2015, which doesn't sound like a long time, but in computer years, that's a long time. And some of these, I don't know exactly which of the softwares is not being continually supported, but there are some portions of the SCADA system, I believe, that are no longer supported. So that kind of puts us at risk. And so what I thought to do is put out a, not an RFP, but we just put out a bid for quote
to come in for a company, take a look at our SCADA system, kick the tires, try to find any vulnerability that we have, and provide a report with the recommendation to replace the systems that need to be replaced and get everything kind of up to snuff. And so we sent out a quote to four companies, and four companies actually got back to us. The original company that did the site visit, their quote came back at $14,000. Telstar, who we've worked with in the past, came in at $6,000. Tesco came in at $45,000. And I looked at their quote, and they're just doing the same thing everybody else is doing. So, but then we got this morning, Travis forwarded me, we got a quote from WorkSmart, their local Sacramento SCADA company. They put in a quote for $8,500, and even though their quote is more than the Telstar quote, the quote that they came back with, I was impressed by just their knowledge of what we had. They must have called Travis and did their research.
No, they came and did a walkthrough.
They actually came out and did a walkthrough. Okay, unlike some of the other companies, and I'm more inclined. My recommendation would either be to select WorkSmart to do this assessment, or to select Cascade Integration. Because I've worked with Cascade before, I know they do good work, but the WorkSmart is substantially less, and it looks like they came out to do a pretty detailed site visit. So I'm kind of thinking either of those two. Telstar, we have done work with in the past. There are parts of Telstar that we're not happy with their work, and there are parts of Telstar where we are happy with their work. I'm somewhat hesitant to go with Telstar, but of course the decision. Travis, do you have a recommendation?
Well, yeah, a couple things. So as I was just reading this, I noticed that Telstar's quote was not at prevailing wage. Says it right there, so that would have to be requoted.
Oh, that's a good catch.
But then also, too, speaking of that, I don't know if WorkSmart's automation is at prevailing wage, because we didn't touch bases on that. So I don't know. They would both have to be requoted at prevailing wage.
If they're not.
If they're not. And so I that's something I just saw, like, 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, good point.
So I don't know how you want to do that. But based on what Michael is saying, this WorkSmart automation, he was out here Friday. This is definitely in his wheelhouse. And my recommendation to Michael a while back ago is I'd like to start phasing out Tesco, because it's just getting harder and harder to get them to do work for us and to get them out here. This gentleman, this company is in Sacramento, and he came out, looked at all of our stuff, and goes, yeah, I know exactly what all this stuff is. This is one of our specialties. It would be nice to, in my opinion, have a company like this, this is all they do, and instead of like Tesco, where they do this and a whole bunch of other stuff, and it takes an act of God to get them out here.
What I'd like to do is put an RFP for a SCADA consultant, kind of like we have an electrician that we always use, but a SCADA person that we always use. And so that's, eventually we'll get to that point. But this is kind of like, we need to do this sooner than later. And so that's why we put this out to quote.
Can it last another month while we get these questions answered? I don't see where WorkSmart addresses the prevailing wage.
We probably didn't ask them.
Yeah, so a lot of times I forget that I need to bring that up.
But
so I don't think they
do this enough for organizations like us that they should realize.
Yeah, they work for a lot of their businesses. They do districts in the Bay Area, so they have worked for public entity. So it might be at prevailing wage. I would need to verify.
What part of this is prevailing wage? It would only be on site, right? What's on site? Just the actual replacement?
They would have to, the gentleman came out and just took a quick look, but...
There'll be some on site.
Yeah, there would have to be some on site because we don't have, we have the capability to have somebody, what's the word I'm looking for?
VPN?
Yeah, to log in and check out our system, but, they need to look at our hardware and stuff like that, so there would be some on-site time.
I don't see it.
Couldn't be a
getting
lot,
much
though,
more.
So can't be. Yeah, it couldn't be a big deal.
Right.
So, get these questions answered and bring them back, or
yeah.
Are we more?
No,
are we in a hurry?
We're on. My big concern, just to be absolutely honest with you, is the three servers, I'm sure they're not going to go out in another month. They are 3 years past their life cycle, but I don't see them going out in the next month. So
we can bring it back, or we can just move forward with probably some small increase if there was any, and just move forward. It's as you wish, Randy.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I like this proposal from WorkSmart. It's very detailed.
And yeah,
you're telling me they're good to work with. I'm good with them. If we want to, Marty, what's your pleasure here?
Yeah, it seems like it needs to come back. But is this something that's in your budget, or do we have to?
No. This would be like an operating, an unforeseen operating expense.
Is it a possibility it could be a reserve item?
You can use reserves for a lot of things.
I mean, this is replacement of existing equipment, right?
Yeah, well, there's no equipment being replaced. It's more like a report, but I guess it supports the replacement of equipment.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, we could.
I think you got to figure out the funding. If it's budget, then it would come to the board as a whole with a recommendation how to fund. It seems like a reasonable thing to do. It's always good to get ahead of these things.
Right.
Because you wouldn't like it if it crashed.
You wouldn't have any water if it crashed. I'm just saying, I don't live here. Y'all do. So if you want to continue to have water.
Well, the other thing that we could potentially do, if you feel comfortable, this is well within the general manager's spending limit. General manager could report out on
that doesn't change where the money comes from.
Right.
It's just that it gets authorized, but it has to come from someplace. But I'm in favor of it. If you have time to bring it to the next board meeting,
yeah, we can add it if you'd like that.
We couldn't
appropriate the money.
We couldn't authorize it, but we could recommend approval.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Well, I would recommend approval. We get all the elements taken care of.
So we'll bring that back to the board to authorize the expenditure.
And make a recommendation on which one you want. I'm kind of in line with going to people that you trust, especially at this level of spending. But I'd rather choose somebody that you trust rather than somebody that you don't trust.
These aren't the people that I've worked with in the past, but they came back with a really good quote. The people that I worked with in the past were $14,000, and I think the difference is so great that we move forward with the people that came out and did a great job, I think, for responding to the quote.
Agreed. So, there's no reason why we have to use the low bidder in this case, is there?
Well, we can always, the board can choose to not do that.
And our recommendation is work smart, and we'll make sure that between now and then
we'll get that in the meeting.
So then I want to make sure it's going to be an item on the board agenda to authorize whichever
if they can get all their pieces together by then. I think it seems like you could.
Yeah
we'll just ask them to update it, and I think we'll just we'll post the other prices, but we'll say that the Improvements Committee has recommended Work Smart and appropriate the money in the budget to utilize for that contract.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. So let's move on to the Main Lift North.
Main Lift North. So we our crew had a Christmas Eve outing to derag one of the Main Lift North pumps. So Main Lift North has two separate pumps. And in front of each pump is a comminuter that grinds the rags and the debris prior to going into the pump to protect the pump. Well, we had a comminuter go out, no longer functional, not repairable. That was pulled. We ordered a new one. It was a 6 month. It's a 6 month lead time on that comminuter, and during that time we had to utilize that pump for whatever reason, and it ragged up, and so we had to come out and derag it to keep the pump station in a redundant state of repair. So that comminuter is on its way, or is it here?
Comminuter is on its way. I just spoke with the company. The thing that was holding it back was the 3 foot shaft, which they've got to take care of. And so I just got confirmation about that, and that should be being shipped within a week or so.
So we'll have that comminuter replaced. The problem is the other comminuter is starting to make noises, and because of the 6 month lead time, staff has requested that we purchase another comminuter and have it on its way to put it on the shelf. So when this happens again, we can just switch them out for the redundant pump. And Main Lift North is a pretty, as you know, pretty important lift station. It serves most of the north, with the exception of the retreats Unit 6, I believe, which is served by 6B station.
All lift stations have the same component?
No. Some lift stations do not have a commoner. We have grinder pumps on some of the lift stations that just grind the sewage. Typically, for the lift station that size, you don't see grinder pumps for whatever reason. Usually, there'll be screening or just really well-designed non-clog pumps, or you'll have a comminuter. Comminuter is kind of an older technology, kind of backdating the time that the station was built. You know, if I could wave my magic wand and redesign the station, I would put screenings removal ahead of the lift station, where you just pull the screenings out all together and compress them, wash them, and put them in a garbage bag and have them picked up. And we, you know, who knows, maybe someday in the future, if there's ever funding for rehab for Main Lift North, you know, we place a screen in and pull the comminuters out, so we're not... The comminuter's just a little more risky. But that's kind of what we have now, so we're kind of like stuck with that process.
So we're having a backup for this lift station. Are other lift stations need backup? Are they interchangeable if we have one on the
shelf? No, these comminuters are not there. You know, we're stuck with a certain brand and manufacturer, and with a certain size. And so there's no other lift stations, Travis, that use that comminuter?
No, so just real quick, quick history. We have 13 sewer lift stations. Three of them are main ones that pump directly to the wastewater plant. The other ones pump into those. We had comminuters in 6B. They were pulled out before my time, and they have grinder pumps in them. And then Main Lift South, those are 4-inch. They're not grinder pumps, but we don't have any rag up issues there. This is the only place where we actually have comminuters in, and that we have the problem. As you can see from the picture, that picture doesn't do it justice. It's the size of a baby calf that we pulled out of there. I apologize, but it's what it was, on Christmas Eve. So, but Main Lift North is the only one at this time that has actual commoners.
It seems like a reasonable thing to do.
There's the price.
Is this one you recommend using reserves for, or what are you doing?
Yeah.
Okay. So you got to bring.
So
it back.
You're asking for the committee to recommend approval to the board for this purchase.
Yes.
All right.
So that'll be another board agenda item.
I understand, and then you approve that as well.
I agree with Randy.
Yep.
Okay, I'll add this to the. Well, we're going to have something to talk about at the board meeting. That's nice.
We got to bring the picture along.
Yes, sir. I'll make sure it's in the.
I've got other ones too. We can add to it. I don't think you want to, but.
And so Travis is going to be taking my place at that board meeting. I'm going to be in Florida, so Travis is going to be.
Charge. I'll bring the pictures in.
And then
Travis, I won't have my boss here to tell me no.
Not
so.
A sniff and smell.
Scratch and sniff.
Can you have a quote?
Yes.
So I can put it in the packet.
It's on there.
I see the price, the most recent.
Quote. Yeah. Yes, I will send that to
you. If it's not a bother.
Yeah, no, it's not a bother. It's we only have, just so you know, these are Muffin Monster. These are one company only. So we're not, it was like last time, we're not able to get multiple quotes. This is a single, it's from JWC.
Yeah.
Oh.
Got it.
Thank you.
Levy report. Michael.
Okay, so in November and December, I walked the levy 8069 and 8068. These are levies that are not owned by the district, but are supported by the district. So we are responsible for keeping up on these levies. And so we're supposed to inspect these every year, and I walk both levies, and levy 8069 protects the south course, Main Lift South, and the residents along the south. 8068, of course, protects the airport and some of the commercial areas of the gardens. All in all, the levies were in pretty good shape. We did have a work list that was created out of that inspection. There's some work that needs to happen at Basin 5 with the oil water separator. I found some safety issues that we need to figure out a way to correct as far as access to the Basin 5 inlet valve. And Travis, have we exercised the inlet valve to Basin 5 yet? I'm just curious.
No, we have not.
So that needs to happen. Let's see. We did secure the discharge guards at the Main Lift South drainage. Those were unbolted by children or someone, and they raise this grate and they go in these. What size pipes are those? They're like 4 foot pipes.
Yeah, they're.
You can see all the graffiti inside the pipe. And so what we did is we just bolted them back, you know, as best we could. So we need to monitor that more frequently to make sure that people aren't playing in there. There's a 3 foot sinkhole in the central west end of levee 069 that I'm going to have Ron's crew go out and provide fill. And let's see, the big is going to be removing trees and vegetation around the 60 inch gravity drain outlet channel over by the airport. And that's a big drain for the entire area, and that's one of the things that's on the checklist for the levy. I don't think that drain area has been maintained in quite some time. The picture that I have in the O&M manual shows this nice little cut slopes with a little bit of grass. What we saw were trees growing out of the side, so we're in the process of trying to get someone to give us a quote to come out and just get that all removed, because what will end up happening if we don't remove those trees and vegetation, first of all, if we don't check it in time, it could cause the valve not to open and drainage back up, but then it could also cause a backup on the airport. If we have too many things and too many things get caught, it can overflow. So we're gonna work on getting that cut down and back where it needs to be.
And then just minor replacing a seal on the middle flap of the FAA discharge line. So this is something we do on an annual basis. We just keep track of the reports, and there's no real reporting that needs to be done. Just wanted to keep you aware of that we are looking at that, and we're keeping it checked.
Do we own a compactor?
Yes.
So when we
like fill a whacker,
when we fill in this sinkhole, we got
yes
some compaction.
Good compaction.
The clearing, Al's clearing, great guy.
Al's clearing,
very competitive price. Al's land clearing. It
Al's
sounds like a small mom and pop thing, but it he does lots of prevailing wage type work.
Let me make sure I heard that right. Al's land clearing. Great. Thank you, Randy.
These levees are on private property, right?
Yes. I'm actually not sure about that.
What
I think
was the question?
Army Corps might own the levees. But they...
So my question is leading toward, do we have an easement to go in there and do work?
Yes. Yes, because we're the responsible for the levee.
Okay.
I can get back to you on the ownership.
Okay. I do have a comment from the public. Gail Bullen.
8069. I think that levee is maintained by the Reclamation District 800.
Well, I'm trying to think of the term. We're a levy support. It's not levy supporter. It's there's a term that's used that provides that we have to do maintenance on the levees, basically.
Okay, but yeah, they maintain levees for private owners. So all the levees they maintain are privately owned, and that looks like it must be part of their area.
It might be. I can find out for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can connect you with the engineer.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just found some documentation that we are a supporter of the levee, and so we have to inspect the levees on an annual basis, and we perform maintenance as needed.
Yeah.
That
we
I know.
Never
yeah.
And the name of the group again, Gail?
Reclamation District 800.
Reclamation District 800, okay.
And then 8068, isn't that owned by the country club?
I'm sorry, can you speak?
Oh, isn't 8068 owned by the country club?
8068?
Mm-hmm.
The country club, that's over by the gardens in the
airport.
Oh,
okay, sorry, okay.
Well, yeah, we'll give it to the country club.
Yeah, they can.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, they got plenty of money. They can, they can fix it up. Anything else, Marty?
Not on that subject.
Not on that. Comments from the public. We've done that. So we're up to comments.
I just had one question about the wooden bridge. Are we ever going to transfer that? Or do you know anything about it?
I actually don't. I think that ball might be in Andrew's court.
Uh-huh. Oh, it is? Oh.
Yeah, you guys already decided to do it. No, I think they have to go through all the transfer paperwork. That's what I mean, we would know more.
It's been in the attorney's court for at least as long as I've been here.
Yeah.
And probably longer. So well, I don't know what's so complicated about it.
I don't know.
People get into it and then it. And then you don't hear about it anymore for a while, and then, yeah, we're working on it, but we got to, I don't know. I don't understand it.
I'll follow up with them. I have to
yeah.
anyway. And that's why we had the resolution a couple of months ago.
Right.
To determine that was not eligible for public housing, remember?
Yeah.
That yes.
Was, right? So, I mean, he did that. Part of it, which I'll follow up. I'll send him an email.
Yeah, it's been on my list since I got here.
It was one of the very first things that was talked about when I started.
I think we missed item F.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's not in mind.
You don't have item F?
Oh, the,
I don't have F either. There's an F.
Do you say
it's on? It's not on the agenda, but it's on.
It's on that agenda. On did that not get resent out?
That was sent out yesterday.
I apologize.
All right.
I think I resent it late last week.
Not a big deal. Chesbro Aeration Station electrical work.
So we have a couple of aerators that are used at the Chesbro Aeration Station. That station's primary use is to prevent manganese from occurring in the water treatment plant influent. Those aerators are being replaced. We actually purchased the replacement compressors, and so what we intend to do is pull the old compressors out, install the new compressors. We're going with four smaller compressors, right, to replace the two larger compressors?
Correct.
And so what we will do is staff is going to do this in-house. We're going to remove the older compressors and install the newer compressors on Unistrut, and then we need the electrician to rewire all of the panels and all the compressors to complete that work. And I believe our electrician will do it for about $12,000 to redo all the panels and rewire them.
Take out the old, put in the new. They need different setups. These compressors, I'm not an electrical person, but the panel that these are hooked up to won't work for the other one. So he's completely redoing all the electrical for the new compressors.
So this is a new panel working then?
Not a new panel. Just they're going to be putting HOA switches so each one can be turned on and off and isolated electrically if we have to do work or change motors in these new Casco ones. So we're going to be putting all four of the compressors in the box that those are in, and so for sound control, and HOA switch is going to be added, and he's going to have to run new electrical for the new boxes.
So we're asking for a recommendation to bring this to the board, appropriate the money, and complete the project. This is a project. This wasn't an old CIP project, was it?
The old CIP project was to buy the first two that we bought. These compressors have been going out. They're leaking oil. They're blowing whole tubes, and they're not putting out the air that's supposed to be putting out. That's why we bought the new Casco units. Which are the same as the old ones. It's just that we have to wait till winter time to do the work because the manganese is pretty much non-existent during the winter months. So we have to. It was we couldn't do it during the summer. We've had the units for two, three months now. This is just doing the electrical work and the installation.
Marty, any objection to this?
No, gotta do it.
Okay.
And how much is it going to cost?
$12,300. And you'll get Amelia the quote.
And I'll get you.
So
the quote.
Do we have to take it to the full board? It's underneath the general manager's spending limit.
Somebody's got to tell us where the money's coming from.
Okay, so I've got this on the board, and we can report on where the money's going to come from. Yes.
Yeah. Water reserves.
Okay. You just have your credit card.
Right. I mean, that's not where the money comes from.
It's over my limit. We might have to put our credit cards together.
Yeah, put them together.
Yeah, but we get a lot of points that way.
I charge 10% interest. I'll use my card.
To get a lot of miles on our card.
Yeah. So that's it.
So that is the improvement staff report now, and we're past comments from the public. Any staff comments, suggestions?
I just want to thank my staff for coming out on Christmas Eve and and removing the rags from that important pump station. I appreciate that, Travis. You guys did a great job, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
Very nice. Very good. I hope someone bought you a adult beverage or something after you were done with it.
Oh, after. I'm sorry. Okay.
No, that's
We had plenty during because we were having to pull.
That's
that
the only
out
way I could get him out there. Is it?
Just kidding. Just want to make sure we're on the right. Just kidding.
Anything else, Marty?
I don't know.
Nope. And I don't have anything, so we are adjourned.
Thank you very much.
I gotta run.